السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا and welcome to today's show. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. We begin today's show by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending our choicest blessings upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. بسم الله الحمد لله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This is الذكريات. Welcome to today's show. أهلا وسهلا, where we talk about how to reclaim your magic and how to make the right choices to create a life that you love. سبحان الله. So I'll be your host, Tasneem, and I'll be taking you up until just before the 3 o'clock news, inshallah. And today we're talking all about how to be socially responsible, but also how to be global citizens and how to inculcate these very habits in our children, inshallah. So, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The lines are open. The number to call is 011-854-1548. So just speaking about today's topic, I mean, you know, raising children to become good citizens doesn't just happen by chance. When we think about it, it happens because parents, schools, communities develop good citizens. And all these factors within community need to work harder, subhanAllah. And quite frankly, we need to do a better job. So children can be inspired, equipped, and mobilized to make a difference in the world. Not only do children's actions help others, but actually research shows recently that it helps them become happier and more successful adults, subhanAllah. So what we're doing now by planting the seeds and, you know, working at grassroots levels actually enables children to be more successful adults. So today's topic is all about raising children as citizens of the world. When children are young, look at your own children, subhanAllah, and think about yourself when you were young. They learn kindness, respect, and empathy. And these are internal strengths that actually connects them to others, subhanAllah, because as human beings, we are social beings, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us this way, that no man is an island. But, you know, you can't just talk about these feelings. Kids, children need to experience them. And alhamdulillah, schools, and alhamdulillah, we have beautiful institutions within our communities, Muslim schools, Islamic schools, and very good schools that are places where children learn and experience these positive values. And these are things and skills that teachers and educators at large are trying to inculcate into our children. But I think we as parents also need to reinforce these values at home, because this is where it all starts. These are the grassroots levels. So how do we instill compassion in children? So, you know, there's a number of ways that parents foster these internal strengths through maybe practicing compassion and teaching themselves. But also kids need to learn how to cope with anger and other difficult emotions. So character building, subhanAllah, is so important with regards to our deen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continuously in hadith speaks about the importance of good character. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the best of character. And what better example than to lead in the footsteps of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I think character education is fundamental in the early years. It helps build strengths like honesty, responsibility, fairness, compassion, and the list goes on and on, and all these internal assets that lead to happiness and afia. And this is what we pray for. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afia. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us this beautiful dua, and one of the most best of duas, most comprehensive of duas, to ask Allah for well-being, for afia, for ease. And this is what enables us from a young age to cultivate these very traits to enable us to have these internal assets that eventually lead us to a place of happiness, contentment, and well-being. These are the kinds of human qualities that foster responsible citizens, people who donate to food drives. I mean, think about yourself and what you might be doing with regards to your own community. Just recycling trash, or help during a crisis, whether it's a local crisis, international crisis, a crisis in your neighborhood, a crisis in your family, a crisis, you know, with one of your friends. These traits that lead to good character building. And in order for communities to grow and thrive, people must step up and take leadership roles. And this is what our beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us. Many children as young as 10 have the capacity to inspire and mobilize others. Inshallah, later on during the program, we will be taking a look and looking at our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam through the lens and through the eyes of a child. And, you know, we read these hadiths that are narrated by all these beautiful Sahaba, Ikram, Anas ibn Malik, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. But do we actually know their stories? Do we know their ages when they were around the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What were they experiencing in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How old were they? How long did they live in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So inshallah, after the break, we'll be taking a look at looking at our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through the lens and through the eyes of a child, inshallah. But just speaking about children in general, and you know, when we think about children, children learn to improve their communities. We can, you know, develop them in such a capacity that they learn to organize others. They acquire problem solving, planning, time management, marketing skills. These are all valuable skills and tools that inshallah we need to inculcate in ourselves, and then once we have it in ourselves, then learning to inculcate it in our own children, inshallah. So most importantly, I think what we need to start off with, and I've said this a number of times, and I love the quote that says, when you're educating a man, you're educating an individual, but when you educate a woman, you're educating a nation, subhanallah. So mothers cannot give from a depleted source. As mothers, every mother needs emotional, mental, physical, and spiritual validation. She needs nourishment and she needs support. And when a mother is respected and well cared for, she and her whole family will benefit. And at large, the community and the ummah will benefit, inshallah. So we need to take care of our mothers, and we as mothers ourselves need to put the self-love back into what we are doing in this passion and this, you know, this vigor for life, and inshallah, inculcate this in our children, because this is when children learn to improve their communities, because they're watching us do what we do. Subhanallah, today's children don't just learn by auditory skills. They don't just learn when we tell them to do something. They are not the people of Sami'na wa Ata'na. They don't obey us just by our commandments or by our voices, but rather they are learners that learn through actions and by watching us, visual learners, and by watching us do things. So alhamdulillah, the more community aware we are, the more people of the world, you know, that we are globally aware and we are concerned with other people's crisis, with our own crisis, we have empathy. The more of these skills that we have, inshallah, we will, inshallah, pass it on to our children. So this is how they learn. They learn about community agencies and how local governments work. All of this they're learning through us, inshallah. And, you know, through this collaboration and interaction, these are training grounds for future organized citizens. So how can we instill these beautiful characteristics in our children? And this, subhanallah, was taught to us 1400 years ago by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you will see later on when we talk about how the Sahaba ikram looked at Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how young they were, you know, the zest for life that they had, and how he gave them this honor and respect as children, subhanallah. So I think this is what we need to instill in our children, a healthy self-esteem. Alhamdulillah, we do such a good job of instilling them with education in terms of what they need to do to equip themselves, you know, living in this world financially, and we try to put a lot of stress and emphasis on their IQ. But what about their EQ? Subhanallah, so important that, you know, we develop this and nurture these skills as well, the emotional intelligence, and is extremely important, even, you know, these three all work hand in hand, but spiritual intelligence is something that also needs to be nurtured, and this system of tawheed and taqwa needs to be instilled from a very, very young age, inshallah. So these kinds of citizens, you know, they can later on coordinate food drives, develop recycling programs, or take part in community action activities. And this is so important with regards to our deen, because this is everything that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, to have mercy for every single creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's a plant or an ant or an animal, another human being. Empathy is something that needs to be instilled and nurtured from a very young age, inshallah. So are we responsible and are we organized citizens enough? And I don't think, you know, not quite, because if we look at our own lives, and we're so fragmented, and we feel so broken, and we don't feel like we're part of the community, and there's no unity, but we need to make that change, and we need to be that change. So we need to be innovative, we need to be growing in terms of ourself, in terms of our community, and, you know, we need to put more of an emphasis in terms of how we can solve society's problems. We seem to have a caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, sister Tiffany?
Alhamdulillah, and how are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome to the show.
Jazakallah.
And your name is?
Zainab.
Zainab. Welcome, Zainab.
Sister Tiffany, children are a blessing.
Alhamdulillah.
And any mom that gets a child is lucky and blessed. Shukr, alhamdulillah. Any mom would wish for it. And what I want to say is, children, when you bring up children in this world, we have to take it seriously.
Mm-hmm. It's children, a great, great amanat.
Gee, it's not something that you just bring a child like that and do this. Especially how we behave, as you were talking earlier, our actions, what we do, they take notice of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So especially in this time, we have to be really careful how we dress, how we talk, what we do. When we read namaz, they're going to follow to do the same thing. All our good actions, they will follow.
Most definitely,
you know,
so.
And a mother is important. Also a father is important in a home.
Mm-hmm.
Father and mother is important. They both must play their roles properly.
Alhamdulillah.
You know, and bring up your children properly, Islamically, instill all those good characters from small.
Inshallah.
That's the most important thing. And I just want to say congratulations to Radio Islam for always bringing up good programs like your talk show and all the others.
Jazakallah so much.
I always take you to all of you to strength. And always keep up the good work.
Ameen. And jazakallah for listeners like you that keep us inspired. Alhamdulillah. If it wasn't for all of you, we wouldn't be able to do what we do, except inshallah. Except from you and except from all of us, inshallah. Jazakallah so much for that beautiful call, Sister Zainab. It's always a pleasure hearing you on the line. And please give us a call soon, inshallah. That was Sister Zainab joining us on the line. SubhanAllah, what a beautiful dua she gave, and also just speaking about how we need to install these very characteristics in ourselves before we can implement it in our children's lives. And just looking at the seerah, SubhanAllah, you know, just I think we should all just read one seerah book a year and look at the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and try and implement these little sunnahs from day-to-day activities, like from the time we wake up until the time we go to sleep. Islam is a holistic religion. It's a way of life. It encompasses every single action of our daily existence. And inshallah, the more we implement the seerah in our lives, the more sukoon, the more afia, the more well-being, the more happiness and contentment we will feel, inshallah, amidst all the chaos that is happening within us, because this is the condition of dunya. And just like how we feel this tumultuous ride right now, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also went through so much at that time. So this is the condition of dunya, whether you were here 1400 years ago, whether you're going to be here 1400 years in the future, or whether you're here right now. I think what we need to focus on is immediacy and here, and, you know, be in the here and now and focus on what we can do and what we can do to make a difference and make a change, inshallah. And I think by equipping yourself with ilm and learning about the seerah and following in the beautiful footsteps of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inshallah, this will, you know, put that puzzle pieces together and make your life seem so much more worthful and purposeful and meaningful, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding and grant us the ability to practice upon what we know, inshallah. So just talking about raising children that are citizens of the world, that are responsible, that are organized citizens, we need to be this, you know. Just like how businesses require innovation and the ability to respond to change, so do communities and nations. Things change from time to time, but alhamdulillah, what has stood the test of time has to be the Quran and the seerah. And things that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us 1400 years ago, scientists and researchers are only discovering it now. Not whether I'm talking about the psychological field or the medical field or the geological field. In any different field or sciences of the world, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam educated us 1400 years ago. The Quran, the revelation speaks about so many miracles and so many sciences that research is only discovering now. So really it's mind-boggling and it's phenomenal, and you will really understand the beauty in our deen the more we learn. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a beautiful hadith that there are two thirsts that can never be quenched. The first thirst is that of the dunya. The more we have of this dunya, the more we want. It's like drinking water from the sea, the salty water, it only makes you more thirsty. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on in hadith something to that effect, that the other thirst is the thirst of ilm, of knowledge. And once we have a taste of this, you won't be able to get enough. Because the more you learn, the more you understand, and the more you realize that how little you actually know. And it only motivates you to want to learn more and more. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us beneficial knowledge. And most importantly, make amal and, you know, make change with the knowledge. Do change with the knowledge that we have, inshallah. So just looking at children, by the time children reach adolescence, psychologically their brains are capable of understanding complex issues and exploring the root of most problems. In order for, you know, communities to thrive, citizens must question and respectfully debate how to improve society. Allah has given us this akal. Allah has given us intellect. We need to think how to change established systems that are inefficient or unjust. And we need to be those people that revive goodness in this world, inshallah. This is the purpose of the ummah. We need to be those revivers that will bring back the sunnah, that will bring back the goodness in this dunya, inshallah. So most importantly, Allah loves those who are in the service of His creation, subhanallah. So service learning is part of deen. Particularly in the high school years, you know, we need to offer young people unique opportunities to link what they learn in the classroom to real world situations in the communities. And often these experiences push them out of their comfort zone to see the world in relatively new ways. But service learning doesn't need to be confined to a classroom. In fact, opportunities abound for families to learn and to serve together. I mean, just looking at our communities around us, soup kitchens, making sandwiches and delivering this to the poor and needy, going out and handing fruit or sandwiches to people standing in long queues at the government hospitals. Just, if you just brainstorm with your family, or with your friends, you'll be able to come up with so many ways in order to service humanity, to service the creation of Allah. These experiences are often transformative, you know, for teens, and it can really transform a person's life. And it teaches them how to think critically about the world around them. And this involves also confronting moral dilemmas and reflecting on the values instilled during our childhood. So all of this makes a great citizen. No matter how old or how young, everyone can make their mark on the world through good citizenship. But we have the capacity to help children and teenagers become great citizens. And this includes, you know, being compassionate people who are responsible, organized and innovative. It's not only about achieving high grades at school, but also being that child that will see to that lonely child sitting on the bench all alone and sharing their lunch with that child that doesn't have any friends. Inshallah, if we're raising children like that, then alhamdulillah, we are winning and we are inculcating the very sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and, you know, bringing that unity back into the communities. So not only will they serve the good of the nation, but they will become tomorrow's ethical business leaders. They will become, you know, the best of parents, the best workers, trustworthy workers. And while we know this is how communities thrive, there is one hitch. Citizen is developed during childhood and adolescence. So, you know, we really need to work at grassroots level. It's very late to start educating an adult, although it's never too late. But I think it's much easier to instill these very, very qualities in a young person's life. And this is why we will see, after the break, inshallah, we'll be chatting more and speaking more about looking at the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through the lens of a child and why he spent such special time with these children and the importance of spending time and, you know, this valuing that critical periods of development. And Rasulullah Islam knew the human psyche like no one ever understood human psyche. And we learn this from the seerah, the importance of instilling this at grassroots level. Inshallah, we will be back after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome back to Al-Dhikrayat with me, Tasneem. Just before the break, we were speaking about how to raise good children as good citizens of the world, global citizens that are socially aware for social responsibility and have this feeling of empathy and compassion for all of Allah's creation. And we said we will now be discussing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through the eyes and the lens of a child, subhanAllah. So, you know, alhamdulillah, I always say gratitude changes the chemical structure of the brain. It's been recently proven according to research and psychology. But we know that Allah speaks in the Quran about the more that we thank Him, the more He will give us. And this gives us a sense of well-being and afia and contentment. We as Muslims cannot thank Allah enough for the various blessings and the ni'mats He has bestowed upon us. And as individuals, as well as an ummah, you know, He sent His word for us in the form of the Quran and took the responsibility of safeguarding it Himself. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said in a beautiful hadith that I leave with you two things, the Quran and my sunnah. So till the end of time, we can seek guidance from the holy books of instruction. And Allah sent us Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam as a role model, as a living model for all that is written in the Quran, to show us that He's the living Quran. He's lived the Quran. He breathes the Quran. He walks the Quran. And Allah says in the Quran, indeed in the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you have a good example to follow for him who hopes in meeting with Allah and the last day and remembers Allah much. So the life of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been recorded in much detail. We can see his example and follow him in every sphere of our life to be successful in this life and in the hereafter. So who are the children around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Let us take a look at some of the children in the company of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also understanding, and you know, we know these names, but just trying to understand, because when I was doing the research, I found it fascinating. First, I'd like to speak about Anas ibn Malik. Anas basically means, you know, to be happy. It means keeping good company. He actually passed away when he was 103 years old. So, alhamdulillah, he lived a phenomenally matured age of 103 years. And when he went to live with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was 10 years old. And he was inside the household of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, almost like running around doing all of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's chores. And he was continuously in the household of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning that Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu knew everything about Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The history books say that the day Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, Anas ibn Malik, for the rest of his life, and you must remember that he lived up till 103 years, he cried every single day for the beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was the person that was so close to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we have the hadith of the scent and the fragrance of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Anas ibn Malik also speaks in the hadith narrated by Anas ibn Malik about the softness that he felt of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hands that was softer than silk, and the fragrance that emitted from the Mubarak body of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be better than musk, subhanallah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away when Anas was 20. So he lived in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for only 10 years. But imagine the impact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had on this individual that mourned and cried for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up to the age of 103 years, subhanallah. And so many narrations and ahadith are narrated by Anas ibn Malik. So he knew the inside out of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because he lived in the household of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was also named Unais, which, you know, he was nicknamed, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam jokingly called him this. But just look at the relationship Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had with these children. He was only 10, and he lived all his teenage years when he was 20, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed away. So in these formative years, he remembers every detail in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, and so many hadith are narrated by him showing the intricacies and, you know, the details in the seerah, subhanallah. Next, I'd like to speak about Hassan ibn Ali. radiallahu anhu, who we know was the beautiful grandson of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the son of Ali radiallahu anhu and Fatima radiallahu anha. Most beloved were the grandchildren of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He passed away at the age of 46 years old, and he was born around the time when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was around 56 years of age. So you will read about things that, you know, this Mubarak, alhamdulillah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the age of 56 and 58 year old is doing with his young grandchildren. We'll read in the Sira books about how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on all his fours, crawling around on the floor with his grandchildren on his back, and he's already at the mature age of 56, 58 years old, subhanallah. And, you know, this also shows that how fit Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must have been. And the history books would tell us that he looked exactly like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anha used to say when he would look at Hassan ibn Ali radiallahu anhu, he would look at him and he would say, he looks exactly like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he'd tell Ali radiallahu anhu that he looks exactly like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and not like you. And imagine this son-in-law, Ali radiallahu anhu, how proud he was that his son looked exactly like the Nabi of Allah, subhanallah. So basically, from the chest to the face, Hassan ibn Ali resembled Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Hussein from the chest to the feet. So the bottom part of Hussein's body looked exactly like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from the top part of his body of Hassan looked exactly like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a beautiful hadith that Hassan and Hussein are the most beloved to me. Subhanallah. And you know, this is what we see, the Nabi of Allah so joyously and so casually playing with his children and teaching them in this fun, humorous way. Subhanallah. Then we speak about Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he was the cousin of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He basically spent 2.5 years in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because it was only after the conquest of Makkah that he migrated to Medina. He was born 3 years after migration. So most of that time he lived in Makkah, and then after the conquest of Makkah, he migrated to Medina with his father, who was Abbas. Abbas was the brother of Abdullah, the father of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abbas was the paternal uncle, also a son of Abdul Muttalib. Just putting us into the frame with regards to the history. And it's nice to visualize this and, you know, put yourself back in time, because you'll start to see the beauty in the seerah, and you'll feel like you're walking amongst these beautiful people and these beautiful souls, subhanallah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was about around the age of 50, and Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was 13 years old when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. So he was the one who you and I call a scholar, subhanallah, at the age of 13. He was only with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like I'm saying, the time in Medina, he spent 2.5 years in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So according to the history books, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was around 10.5 years old when he migrated to Medina. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, he was around the age of 13. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day said a dua, and he said this dua for Abdullah ibn Abbas, and he said, "Oh Allah, educate him in the deen and teach him interpretation." And this is the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why we have the tafsir of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, a 13-year-old boy, only 2.5 years in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in those 2.5 years, got to know the Quran inside out. Subhanallah, think about our 10-year-old boys and what are they doing? Playing Fortnite and PlayStation. So this was the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is the caliber of the Sahaba Ikram and the people around Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who were basically, in our terms, were children. 10 years old, 13 years old, how much responsibility do we give children of that age? And look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, put his hand on his beloved child and read this dua, "Oh Allah, educate him in the deen and teach him interpretation." And it is because of this very dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we have Abdullah ibn Abbas, and we call him a scholar. You and I refer to him as a scholar of tafsir, and we have the whole Quran being interpreted as a Quranic science of tafsir by Abdullah ibn Abbas, and he learned all of this in the mere 2.5 years of being in the company of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Basically, when you read the history and you read the seerah, these youngsters were in the company of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam most of the time. And when we read the seerah and we read the hadith, you'll see that they not only, you know, in like in a teacher-student relationship where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sitting in a formal setting and teaching them serious aspects with regards to deen. I'm sure there were times for that also. But we see them praying together, playing together, riding the camel or the donkeys together, subhanallah, in a very, you know, casual, joyful state, subhanallah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was already, you know, way into his 50s and 60s at that time, but when the history books describe the Mubarak features of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had very, very few white hair. He looked very fit and young for his age, subhanallah. So when we think of how important it is, you know, think about the effect that this visual had on the children around Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why when a child looks, the first thing he looks at, when you speak to somebody, you look at their mouths. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had perfect white teeth. He would constantly be using the miswak. There was a beautiful fragrance that emanated from the mouth of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know that in Uhud, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lost a tooth, but he had the most perfect lips, and his speech was clear. And his tune, his voice was in accordance to the age that he was speaking to, or the gender that he was addressing, or the character, or the emotional background of the person, of the particular group or individual that he was addressing. And that's why we see lots of companions asking the same question in the narration of a hadith, but receiving different answers according to the personality of the sahaba, because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew the type of person and the character of the person asking that question. And when he spoke so clear and he spoke precise. Think about how we speak to our children. Most of the time we're screaming at them. And you know, the voices, we go into a high shriek, a pitch tone, and basically they just want to put their fingers in the ears when we speak to them, because it's quite scary, frankly. So we need to really slow down. We need to absorb what we want to say. You know, we need to be in a good state. As mothers, we need to be so spiritually aware, emotionally aware, intellectually aware, that when we speak clearly. We speak in a voice that sounds like love coming out from your mouth, so the listener actually memorizes and learns what we are saying. And because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's speech was so clear and precise, this is why in those 2.5 years was enough for Abdullah ibn Abbas to understand the Quran to such a degree that he is later on referred to as a scholar of tafsir. Subhanallah. And we will be back after the break. Alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome back to Al-Dhikrayat. And I'm your host, Tasneem. Just before the break, we were speaking about how the children around Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and looking at the Nabi of Allah through the lens and eyes of a child. And, you know, just before the break, we were speaking about his clarity of voice, and also looking at the seerah and thinking, how can we change the way we speak to our children. So these stories are not just for our entertainment. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was an example that came for the whole of humanity, not only for the Muslims. So we need to look into the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how fortunate are we as Muslims to have him as an example, and what better example than the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we were speaking about Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his speech, how clear he was, his perfect, you know, features, and how cooling it must have been for the children to gaze at this Mubarak face of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another interesting thing with regards to psychology is, especially with a newborn baby, they tend to focus on the human face, and they love staring at the human face. And this is why, especially when a mother is breastfeeding, so the distance from the mother's eyes to the newborn is about 30 centimeters, and they say that is the perfect distance. Look at the kudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and researchers have found this out recently, that that is the perfect distance for a newborn to fixate on a human's face. So imagine looking and gazing at the Mubarak face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved children. He loved spending time with children because he knew the importance of doing this work, of inculcating empathy and EQ at the very grassroots level to raise, you know, responsible citizens and responsible ummahs and responsible sahabas. Look at the character of sahaba ikram, subhanallah. So now imagine with all this beauty, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would touch the sahaba. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu says in a hadith, in a narration, that I never touched anything softer than silk was the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another narration, he says, I never smelt a fragrance that was more beautiful than the perspiration of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How beautiful, my dear mothers and sisters. And inshallah, look at the children around the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we need to lead that example by following that seerah. And inshallah, being that example for our children and the role models that they need to look up to. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is seen praying and playing and riding the camel. A lot of narrations and a hadith, if you read in Bukhari and Muslim, the narrator will say, I was riding the camel behind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned around and he told me this so and so. You know, if you read the seerah books, you will see that. And it, you know, just setting the scene of how, you know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the relationship between him and the sahaba ikram, and they were literally children at that age. Then we talk about Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, who was the son of Umar radiallahu anhu. So he was 20 years at the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's death, and he was born just 3 years after Nabuwat. He migrated when he was 10 years old, so he remained in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for about plus minus 10 years. And 10 years were enough to make him the exceptional man, scholar and companion that he was, subhanallah. So, you know, this is amazing. When I was doing research for the show, I was really, really blown away. And I came across such a beautiful hadith and a story, and I'd like to share it with the listeners. It comes in Bukhari, and it's narrated by Anas ibn Malik, who we just spoke about. And he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the best in, you know, of people in character. And one day he had a brother whose name was Abu Umair. And Anas ibn Malik is now narrating the hadith, and he said that I think he was weaned, so he just probably stopped, you know, finished breastfeeding. So he was quite small, just maybe over 2 years old. And when he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet came, and he would say, oh, Abu Umair, what happened to the Nughair? So Nughair was a small little birdie that he kept as a pet. Nughair, it means little bird. And, you know, just look at the play on words and how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rhymed the boy's name to the bird's name. And this Nughair was a small bird. Abu Umair was Anas's youngest brother, radiallahu anhu, and he had taken up Nughair as a pet and used to love him dearly. And unfortunately, Nughair died or he flew away, and Abu Umair was devastated. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to visit them, he tried to lift his spirits up by joking with him about his little birdie. So in this little, you know, short hadith, there's so many lessons that we learn, and there's so many examples for us to take from here. It's, you know, it's allowed, first of all, it's encouraged to keep birds as pets. Otherwise, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have discouraged it, but we see him joking with a child. It teaches the children responsibility, you know, to look after the creation of Allah, to show mercy towards the creation of Allah, to feed the animal, to clean the cage. So it's really encouraged in our deen to have pets. It is allowed to joke with each other, provided we remain truthful and we don't, you know, hurt the person's feelings. But here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uses joke and humor to lift the child's state of sadness and, you know, to lift his spirit, subhanallah. And it is also a sunnah to show kindness towards each other, and particularly to the young ones. We need to pay special attention to the young ones and to our elderly in the community. And there are numerous hadith that stress upon the importance of taking care of the young and the old. in the Masnoon way, the Sunnah way of life is being humble. We should never be arrogant, and humility towards people, family and children is what is expected of us as being Muslims. So, you know, it's so important when we look at this and we look at the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to take special care in all these little advices of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to actually, you know, study the seerah and understand what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was actually trying to teach us as the future ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, when we look at children, raising children as citizens of the world, we look at the world today and the maiming and the killing of innocent people around the world is a daily occurrence within our context and within the global context. And the world maybe, you know, there's so much that's going on. And it's because it has become a routine or because of victims of different faith or color, we tend to be, you know, oblivious to what's going around. But we need to make ourselves conscious and aware and raise that awareness and speak to our children about it. Because this is the reality that we live in this global context, and the world is really a village. It's a global village thanks to technology. So we can really reach out on a different scale and on a different level. And we need to make our children socially active in terms of doing something towards, you know, benefiting the ummah, benefiting Allah's creation and showing mercy to every single creation out there. But most importantly, I think before we can even do that, we as mothers, we need to fill our cups. We cannot give from a depleted source. We cannot pour from empty cups. Every mother needs emotional, mental, physical and spiritual validation, and we need to nourish ourselves and support ourselves. And when a mother is respected and well cared for, she and her whole benefit and society at large will benefit, inshallah. So, you know, I always say happy mommy is happy children. So look after yourselves as women, and inshallah you will be raising the future da'is and the future leaders of tomorrow, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding and make us amongst those who have been successful in dunya, kabar and akhirah. And inshallah may we love the sahaba ikram so much, and inshallah al-mar'u ma'aman ahabba, that we will be raised amongst them, inshallah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding, grant us ilm as well as amal, inshallah. From me and my engineer, Brother Ziad, it was an absolute pleasure spending this hour in your company, and I look forward to the same time, same place next week, inshallah, on Adhikrayat, every Tuesday on Radio Islam International from 2 to 3, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.